Good morning. This is Digital Dave.
Good morning. I'm Fast Eddie most of the time.
And that was a good opener, because that's about how I felt this morning getting up. Day three here at AirVenture.
That's right. If you're not here, you better hurry.
And let's get right into it.
All right.
We're joined today by Mr. Steve Whiteman and Mr. Jay Drury, who have an unusual aircraft. Apparently, you guys believe in the philosophy that a jet engine is better on anything.
I haven't tried it on a motor scooter, you know.
Oh, I'm
talk
I'm
to
game.
Jay Leno on that one.
I'm game.
So, talk about your plane. What kind of a plane is this?
Well, first of all, it's all composite. It's the cowling's made of carbon, and the rest of the airplane is all fiberglass. So it's a single engine amphibious. I mean, it's the world's fastest single engine amphibious airplane, and it's equipped with a Garmin 1000 equivalent G900 avionics suite and a Grand Rapids engine monitor with all the full functions of a multifunction display everything that the 900 has, basically.
Okay, what airplane is this exactly?
It's a Super Seawind.
Uh-oh, a Super Seawind.
Right. I remember seeing
it has a turbine
the
engine on it.
Well, yeah, I guess that makes it a Super Seawind, because we only saw the prototype.
That's right.
Oh, really?
You're saying world's fastest. Exactly how fast have you gone?
Well, the fastest I've gone, and people relate, 219 miles an hour. That's the airspeed.
Yeah.
Airspeed.
Wow. So it's not quite 0.5 past light speed, but close.
It's near ludicrous speed, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Right. So, and you're trying to set some world records.
Yeah, it's kind of the acronym for it is SEAT. So speed, endurance, altitude, and time to climb. So I'm registered with the National Aeronautics Association to do the speed record between points and two points, and they have their standards and they need notice and all of that. But we haven't got around to doing that yet. Jay and I were considering doing that, going down to AOPA from the Boston area, Bedford Air Force, Bedford Field. But we didn't get around to doing that. We just decided to train and do landings and fly. That's all we had time for before coming here, because we had some surprising maintenance issues, which we dealt with. And
oh, no, that never happens.
Yeah, nothing ever breaks in airplanes.
Apparently the cup holder got jammed or something.
No, it was the DVD player.
Yeah.
they put Top Gun in it, and it wouldn't come out.
Thus the nomenclature experimental.
Yeah, right. The 8-track got stuck.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the question I have is a pretty simple one. Why did you go with the PT-6? What inspired you? Did you like have one laying around somewhere doing nothing?
It's all the fault of the EAA and AirVenture.
You know? Okay. Wow, let's lay the blame.
They're going to be hearing from the lawyers soon.
I came here in 2003 with Leon Pesce, who's a retired Air Force airline captain. Lives in Europe, and he was building the Seawind, and he had been building the Seawind for, I don't know, at least 5 years. So we came here, and we saw PT-6s for sale for experimental. So he and I have an aviation background in the Army, you know, maintenance. So we were looking, and I know gas recip engines really well. So I'm looking at the turbine, and the more I studied the turbine, it's half the weight, twice the horsepower.
There's a no-brainer.
Right. So half the weight, twice the horsepower, and these engines, on price-wise, they were refurbished engines, were comparable to the IO recommended engine for it, which is the IO-540. And I said, you know, it's the most reliable engine ever made. Nothing comes close to it as far as the durability. Millions of hours flown with no faults, you know. So that's my kind of engine. And if I'm going to have an airplane and load it up with people and everything, if it's a four-seater, I looked at the weight and balance with an IO-540. There's only like two of me, and if I'm lucky, that I can get off the ground with an airplane like that. But if I put the PT-6 in it, the world's open to me.
There you go. So it didn't take a whole lot of thought on that.
Plus, jet fuel is available everywhere.
Yeah.
Higher low light, isn't
that's
it?
True.
Well, that's true. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's
and,
right,
and here
Jay.
I thought you were going to say you saw the airplane and someone whispered in your ear, turbine engine.
I was going to say you probably saw that and did the happy dance thinking, my airplane turbine engine. What's the downside?
Oh, yeah, I did that. But another part of it was the simple challenge. Can it be done? Never been done before.
Right. That, so what was the conventional wisdom that said you're crazy?
Everybody.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Well, you know, a turbine conversion is a great thing, but there are some considerations. For one thing, hot exhaust gases. Weren't you concerned with the exhaust cooking the tail of your airplane?
Yeah, that was a big concern. So, and, you know, I did the math and looked at it, and in working with people that were helping me install it, I worked with a build assist program down in Florida. Anyway, the outcome of that was we had an argument, you know, and they said, well, you don't need to do, you know, have all that protection. So we put shielding in back of the exhaust, and I said, we need more. They said, no, you don't. Well, it turns out we did. We put more shielding in actually last December. And then I built out the exhaust stacks to be twice as long as it originally came with, and that solved the problem of exhaust on the tail or anywhere else. There's no problem with that. We don't have any. We put temperature into temperature tape to measure the temperatures, and we don't have a. There's
by,
no problem.
By the time it gets back to the horizontal stab, it's cool enough that it won't affect the composites.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh.
And and that's one thing I did check out. We put temperature tapes. When I first started that engine, there were temperature tapes back on the horizontal stabilizer and the vertical stabilizer, and it wasn't a problem. So that was the test, actually.
Well, the good news there is you'll never have any icing problems with your horizontal stabilizer.
Yeah, there you go.
Good point.
Did you guys have to do anything special for the air intakes to guarantee you didn't suck in any water spray?
Yes, I actually designed a system, and it called inertial particle separator.
Ooh, that right. Sounds good. It's a cyclonic vacuum cleaner hooked on your engine, right?
Well, it works. Yeah, right.
I
contacted Mr. Venturi. He's, of course, long dead now.
Right. So that was an expensive call.
So Venturi. And Venturi principle. So basically, the weight of water is much greater than the weight of air. So I figured out if you make a right turn, the air will go make the right turn because it's very light. Water won't. So the water goes straight out. So I designed a system so that even in heavy rain, the water will not go into the engine. It's the cowling is...
That sounds like something you should patent.
Yeah, you're right. So the cowling is it's only one cowling like it in the whole world, and it's on my airplane. And
there you go.
It's designed and... Just about, you know, handmade with a mold, and it's just, I'd hate to have to replace it.
Yeah, exactly. When's your plan to do the record attempts?
Well, Jay and I are flying to Alaska next week, and we're going to be gone for a month in Alaska visiting national parks in my Super Sea Wind, November 7-1 Romeo Juliet. So we'll be going to we'll stop in for Ketchikan for fuel, then we go up to Anchorage, and from Anchorage down to Seward and Kenai National Park, and then we're going over to Katmai National Park, and then hopefully Lake Clark National Park, and then we go to Southeast Alaska, and we're staying in a Forest Service cabin and on Lake Baranof near Sitka, and it's absolutely gorgeous. We're going to land on the water in all these places, so... you know, in Lake Clark and Katmai and Baranof. So it's breathtakingly beautiful with mountains, waterfalls, and best of all, at Baranof, where the cabin is, they have hot springs.
Ah,
nice.
Hot bath
right.
Is guaranteed.
So long story short, we may do some of the record attempts during that trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
If not, we'll do them when we get back.
Or at least
probably
practice
for
them.
Yeah. I think we'll probably do the record altitude, you know, at least up to now. And so we'd probably be up in the 20s, you know.
Wow.
And if anybody's interested, the airplane is for sale.
Yeah.
Okay, I got $20.
I need to add a few zeros.
I got news for you. They will take credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
If you're tired of the potato chips and the television, you're ready for my C-Wind, because life is full of excitement with that C-Wind.
There you go.
And full of surprises.
I've got a scooter that's similar to that.
Not near as much fun, though.
It's a great performing airplane. It really, really goes well.
Oh, with that
engine
on it, I imagine it is. Yeah. Well, right. I want to thank you guys.
About 3,200 pounds on takeoff. You can see on a standard day at sea level, you can see a 3,000 foot per minute climb rate.
Wow.
Fighter
you guys,
time.
He can outrun a hornet.
Well, for the first couple thousand feet anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us. We've been speaking with Steve Whiteman and Jay Drury, and this is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.